Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you want to join us, you can dial 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. and join us in our Bible studies. You can give your comments or your thoughts on what the writer is saying. Amen. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here on this program every Tuesday through Saturdays to pray one for another. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come to be overcome.
in the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
healed. His body to deliver. If you call him, he'll come to your rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. That's your presence, Father. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord. Come on, let's check it out. Y'all, check it out.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you. Because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything is going wrong, and you don't know how you'll make it through. Try so hard to be a good neighbor. God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around them and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Amen. Praise be to God. What can we ask the everlasting God? You know what's best, what we need, and when we need it. You see the end before the beginning, and you know the path we are taking, we are to take. We ask for wisdom, for you are the great and wise everlasting God. We ask for the ability to slow down and focus our thoughts on you in our daily life. Place yourself on our mind when we wake up each morning, that we might start our day right. Remind us of who you are so we don't waste the time you have given us. Help us to use our time to advance your kingdom for your glory, for the good of others, and for the fulfillment of our destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting.
I know life can be a blip sometimes. Seems like as soon as you get one step forward, it'll knock you back three steps. Listen here. You might be feeling that life is getting you down. Uh-huh. Like dreaming you're falling and you don't want to hit the ground. No, no. You're wondering when your ship will come in, sitting on the dock of the bay, but you just can't win. I know a savior who died for your sins. Just open your heart and let him come in. The quickening spirit, quickening spirit, the quickening spirit, quickening spirit, quickening spirit, receive your healing.
Quickening spirit, quickening spirit, quickening spirit, One night stand in the back of his car instead of demanding respect. You let him trick your heart, you surviving on the edge. Hope you find a ball of bouncing around from clubs to car. He only likes you enough when you're giving it up. Your friendships can't be taught, so when he sets you up, remember respect can't be bought. So be the real quick, give me all.
You let those people see
what
just
a real
who
sister
you wanna
said.
Be and every night you shine
what a real sister
just
said.
Like a superstar. The type of
time
life that plays
Christ Jesus, die for us all. Remember patience, race, death, all the money, material things. Sisters would never feel an empty heart. Don't be ashamed to call on Jesus' name. He'll heal your pain, erase your scar. If you go and worship, son, you can remember Jesus gave you life. And he loves you for who you really are. You a temple of God, a queen. So keep your faith up and look towards the star. I'm sent back Christ Jesus to point the way. To safety, to security. Come to word of the living. Come to Jesus' name. Jesus loves you. And I love you too. Come to word of the living. Keep your faith up, sister. Keep your faith up. You're listening to
Amen. Praise God. You are the God who helps me and sustains me. When I am in need, you are there. When I am alone, you are there. When I don't know my way, you guide me or come alongside me to walk with me as I find it. You are worthy of praise. God, my help, because your great arm reaches out to help those in need. You provide me with all I need to carry out the purpose for which you have placed me on earth. You sustain me with the kindness of your love, the wisdom of your mind, and the strength of your arm. I adore you, God, my help, with all that is within me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God.
Jesus is calling you. The angels sing on the right hand of the throne. It's the King of Kings.
Praise God. God, please pardon me for the fears I entertain when I don't know how to get through a trial or struggle. Fear wells up in me as a natural emotion, but I confess I don't quickly chase it away with the truth of your character or with the truth of your word as I should. Please have mercy on me for not experiencing your help, but rather having to be reminded that you are truly there. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in basic theology. Praise God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? seraphim. Somebody's gonna walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
Enjoyed the first part of our program for this evening as we are getting ready to go into our lesson by our very own Barbara Amore, who's going to come with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. And yourself?
Blessed, thank you. Praise
God. Fantastic.
Amen.
Yes. Someone else on with us?
No, just you and I for the moment.
Okay. I'm going to open with prayer.
Okay.
Precious Lord, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assembled to say thank you. Lord God, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a brand new day, allowing us to see some happy faces, Father God, some happiness in the lives of those that I encountered today. I just thank you for all your many benefits, for your unconditional love, your grace and mercy, your favor, your compassion, Lord God, your kindness, your gentleness, your understanding, Father God, your wisdom. Thank you so very much for all that you do, all that you're doing right now, and all that you ever will do. Thank you for your very being, Father God. Well, thank you for your son, Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Lord, we thank you. I ask that you bless everybody on that line. Bless Evangelist Hilda and her family. Bless First Lady Nadine and her family and anyone else associated with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All those who are absent, bless them also. Bless our listeners. And just continue to be who you are in our lives, Father God. That will be done as we follow you. Thank you for making a way, for your understanding, for your providential blessings in our lives. These and all other blessings I ask in the name. And if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. In the blessed name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue with our lesson, chapter 26, The Reality of Demons. We stop on section A, the second paragraph. Basically talking about the realness of demons in this world. The first part was talking about testimony of Scripture, the testimony of Christ. And I'm going to read that second paragraph. If we cannot accept the Lord's testimony, then we would have to conclude that either A, he was lying, or B, he was accommodating his teaching to the ignorance of his audience, which in effect makes his guilty propagating falsehood, or C, the early church redactors of the text added the parts about his teaching on demons. Any questions about that?
No.
B, the testimony of other parts of the New Testament. All the writers of the New Testament, except the writer of Hebrews, mentioned demons for a total of more than 100 references. See, for example, 1 Corinthians 10, 20 through 21, James 2, 19, Revelation 9, 20, for example. These references, all use the word daemonian. Other references to demons use the words angel and spirit. Note, too, that demons are mentioned in the first, James, and last Revelation books written. So we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians 10, 20 through 21, and then James 2, 19, and Revelation 9 and 20. If you would get 1 Corinthians 10, 20 through 21.
Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening.
How are you
good
feeling?
Evening. Welcome.
How are you?
Boy. I'm good, but my vision is still a little bit blurry. Takes a minute for this stuff to wear off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When they dilate. It takes a minute for the couple.
I know.
But it's, I'm here. I'm going to try.
It's better. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
1 Corinthians 10, 20 through 21.
Mm-hmm.
You have it?
Yes. No, not at all. I am saying these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons, too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons, too. Amen.
Amen. Any thoughts about that?
Who was that talking?
Who is this talking? Probably Jesus talking, telling Paul, telling what Christ had said.
If it's first, right, 1 Corinthians is, you said it was 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
Yes, 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, so we know that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
So it's Paul.
This is Paul telling what Christ has told him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read up a little at 10 and 15. It says, I assume I'm addressing believers now who are mature. Draw your own conclusions. When we drink the cup of blessing, aren't we taking into ourselves the blood, the very life of Christ? And isn't it the same with the loaf of bread you break and eat? Don't we take into ourselves the body, the very life of Christ? Because there is one loaf, our manyness becomes oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what he is. That's basically what happened even in old Israel. Those who ate the sacrifices offered on God's altar entered into God's action at the altar. So, again, this is, has already been said, this is Paul talking about the teachings of Christ. Amen?
Okay.
Amen.
And so we're going to go to James 2 and 19, Evangelist. James 2 and 19. First Lady can't read right now, so we're just going to be the two of us, if you don't mind.
All right. James 2 and 19 says...
Not that she can't read, but she it's hard for her to see.
Mm-hmm.
James 2 and 19. Man.
You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Amen.
Amen. Any thoughts about that?
Well, he's telling the church or the people that even that we say we believe, but then we're not following. So even the demons know that much.
Right.
So they believe in God also, just like we do. But they don't serve him. They serve a different one, the ones that follow.
Right. Yeah. So it's not enough to believe, because even the demons believe in God, but do they...
Mm-hmm.
They don't. He's not their Lord and Savior. They don't trust him or have faith in him like we're supposed to have. Not enough just to believe. It's believe and obey.
Be obedient.
Right.
And be obedient, exactly.
Amen. Revelation. Is someone doing something? Kind of annoying. Revelation 9 and 20.
Okay. Revelation 9 and 20. But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. Amen.
Amen.
Even though they went through all of that, they still didn't believe. They still was making their idols, worshiping their idols, so...
Mhm. So their hearts did not change.
No, they didn't.
What's interesting is that how do you worship something you made? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You made these idols, okay? Like you took all your gold and made a golden calf. You took carved out these idols. How could you put your trust in something that you made? You know what I'm saying?
That's what they did back then, because they didn't know about God, some of them.
Amen. Yeah, but, so they wanted something. They wanted something to worship. So they made things.
Yes, they
wood, stones, gold, silver, and such. But we know that it had no power. Those idols were powerless. Something to look at, something to... They were objects. Something to... You know,
right.
Even, but we, having the knowledge of the true and living God, look at it and may laugh about it. But to them, it was, was their God. Amen? And it says that...
Yeah.
This is the Message Bible. It says, the remaining men and women who weren't killed by these weapons, Mary Way, didn't change their way of life, didn't worshiping demons, put centering lives around lumps of gold and silver, brass, hunks of stone and wood that couldn't see or hear or move. There wasn't a change of heart. They plunged right on the murderous occult, promiscuous and thieving ways. So again, idols, it didn't change their heart. It was just something to do, you know, something to, and it had no effect upon their way of living.
But also, these people did know God. These are the Israelites. They knew God. You know, they weren't like the surrounding countries who didn't know God. They followed those surrounding countries in spite of the fact that they knew God.
Okay, I would have to read this whole thing to find out exactly who it's referring to. I won't do it right now. Maybe that'll be homework. Read Revelation 9. Okay.
Chapter 9.
Well, Revelation is written about. Okay, we can do it. All right.
Right. These references are all the word. Oh, I read that already. Part C. It's a lot of scriptures in this section, so I don't know how far we're going to get, but we'll go on. Part C, the testimony of the Old Testament. Much less frequently does the Old Testament refer to demons. So the Old Testament doesn't talk a lot about demons. It's more so in the New Testament. The Shittim of Deuteronomy, verse 32 and 17, and Psalm 106 and 37, were Lord idols whom the Hebrews regarded as visible symbols of demons. The Sarum of Leviticus 17:7 and 2 Chronicles 11:15, Isaiah 13:21 and 34:14 were also demonic conceptions, all in the Old Testament. But to deny the reality of demons requires ignoring or denying the truth of many passages in Scripture. So, any thoughts about that? No thoughts. Okay, so the testimony of the Old Testament, as it says, there's not a lot of talk about it, but let's take a look at Deuteronomy 32 and 17, Evangelist, if you would not be so mind. Deuteronomy 32 and 17.
Says, they offered sacrifices to demons, which are not gods, to gods they had not known before, to new gods only recently arrived, to gods their ancestors had never feared. Amen.
Okay. Okay, let me just read this part. Mine is from 15 to 18. I'm just going to jump in here. It said, Jeshurun put on weight and bumped. You got fat, became obese, a tub of lard. He abandoned the God who made him. He mocked the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with their foreign newfangled gods with obscenities that vexed him no end. They sacrificed to no god demons, gods they knew nothing about. The latest in gods fresh from the market, gods your ancestors would never call gods. You walked out on the rock who gave you your life, forgot the birth god who brought you into the world. Amen. This is the Old Testament. Deuteronomy. Some, any thoughts? Psalm
106 and 37 says, they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Old Testament.
Well, they were more worshiping demons than they were worshiping God, because God don't have sacrifices of children. So what was that? God that they were serving. I think it was
Baal.
It was Baal. Is that where Ruth was? Wasn't she
from Moab?
Yeah, Moab. That's it.
She's from Moab.
Right.
But between their god, Molech,
mm-hmm.
and Ashtera, mm-hmm. and Baal, there were quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've been mm-hmm. reading, a lot of them required the sacrifice of children.
Yes.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So God, at one point, required the sacrifice of doves and, you know, animals, birds, whatever. But we never see or saw that he asked for people to give up their children to him.
Right.
Never.
No.
Except when Jesus Christ came along. That's when he asked that we become like children and become obedient
mm-hmm.
to his leading. Amen? But that's to
right.
give up our life or to sacrifice their life for him. He sacrificed his life for us.
Exactly.
Amen.
Right.
So that we can have life. So that was a horrible thing. Well, anyway, we know that. So
mm-hmm.
then the theorem of Leviticus 17, verse 7. If you would get that. Leviticus.
I can read that. I got everything really big now. I can read that.
See?
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Leviticus.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
So Leviticus 17:7 says, and they may no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat idols, after which they were prostituted. This is a lasting statute for them throughout their generations.
Amen. Amen. So what does that mean, if anything, to someone, anybody?
You know,
We remember that they had temple prostitutes. That was a part of their religion also. Those who worshiped other things other than the one and only true and living God. They had prostitutes in the temple.
So God is saying that they may no longer sacrifice. You know, their sacrifices
like that,
to the goat idol
after which they were prostituting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this had to come to an end. That was part of, you know, Leviticus are the laws, and that was one of the laws that they needed to stop this craziness that they're doing.
Right. But we still have to remember that Jesus Christ, even though he's throughout the Bible, he was not manifested yet.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But he still wanted that to stay. Yep. You know, that's not the way. That's not what he wasn't a part of that. That was man's own doing. 2 Chronicles 11:15.
Okay.
You have that? You banded it together.
15. Jeroboam appointed his own priest to serve at the pagan shrine where they worshiped the goat and calf idol he had made. He made it.
Yeah, Jeroboam was the king that, remember who Jeroboam was. He was the king that separated from Rehoboam to start the northern kingdom.
You have Jeroboam.
You say Jeroboam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if it's Chronicles, it's probably Rehoboam.
15.
This is 2 Chronicles
11 and 15. It's Jeroboam.
Jeroboam.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm at 11 and 12. Okay.
2 Chronicles 11:15. Yeah.
3:17. They talk about Jeroboam. Okay. Excuse me. So this is starting at 13. The priests and Levites from all over Israel came and made themselves available to Rehoboam. The Levites left their pastures and moved to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons had dismissed them from the priesthood of God. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, talking about the Levites and how he had started his own worship. Amen? And dismissed them from, replaced them with his priest to preside over the worship centers at which he had installed goats and calf demon idols. That's why the Levites left. They got out of time.
He didn't want them. But they were serving God. He wanted to appoint his own daggone priest to serve
demon,
these idols.
Everyone from all the tribes of Israel who determined to seek the God of Israel migrated with the priests and Levites to Jerusalem to worship their God of their ancestors. They gave a tremendous king to Judah. They stuck with Rehoboam, son of Solomon, for 3 years, loyal to the ways of David and Solomon for this period. Amen? So as we would, the 11 tribes split up after Solomon died, and Rehoboam wanted to do things, overtax the people, so they split, and they went to the northern kingdom, and then when they got up there, Jeroboam wanted to have his own religion, have his own way of worshiping, and so Benjamin and the back to Judah, amen, and that's where they came back to own God, all right?
This says that the ones who wanted to service, so it may not have been just Benjamin, because Benjamin has always been in the South. You know, Benjamin.
No, I didn't say it was Benjamin just Benjamin. I said the Levites
but Benjamin,
and Benjamin came back. Because my study showed that 11. Can I finish? My study showed that 11 of the tribes left, but then Benjamin and the Levites came back to Judah. So that's why I'm saying Jeroboam started his own religion, and it was very offensive to the Levites, so they came back to Judah where they could worship the true and living God. Loyal to the ways of David and Solomon for this period. Amen.
Did your study about the 11 actually come from Scripture? Because I didn't read that in Kings. When I read in Kings was the 10 tribes left. So was that a verse in Scripture that said 11?
No, it wasn't a verse in Scripture that I know of. But it did say that 11 tribes left, and like I said, the Levites came back. The Levites came back. It was Benjamin.
The Levites were never a tribe.
Yes, I didn't say that they were. I didn't say they were. I said they went with Jeroboam to the northern kingdom of Israel. And when they got there and the worship changed, they were already, we know they were from King David, right? They were originally from Jacob's 12 sons, and they were all in the lineage, all right, although it's been disputed.
Read Chronicles, 2 Chronicles.
Okay, just let me finish saying what I'm saying, please. Can you allow me that?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so when they came, when they went up to the northern tribe, it wasn't like they thought it was going to be. They may have been, you know, less taxing and all of that, but he was just, their worship was not pleasing to them. So they came back to Judah, and that's when it was Benjamin and the Levites came back to Judah. And they still say it was 2 tribes in Judah and 10 in the northern kingdom. And for whatever reason, after they were captured by Assyria, they were dispersed throughout the world, the diaspora or diaspora of the Jews. So people still don't know where those 10 tribes are. All right?
Can you read in the same 2 Chronicles chapter 11, starting from verse 11?
Sure.
Well, actually, you can start from verse
1.
Verse 5. Start from verse 5. Rehoboam fortifies Judah.
Okay, this is the message.
Mm-hmm.
The message. I'm going to start from 1, 11 and 1. When Rehoboam got back to Jerusalem, he called up the men of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 of their best soldiers, to go to war against Israel and recover the kingdom. At the same time, the word of God came to Shemaiah, a holy man. Tell this to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, along with all the Israelites in Judah and Benjamin. This is God's word. Don't march out. Don't fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go back home, every last one of you. I'm in charge here. And they did it. They did what God said and went home. Rehoboam continued to live in Jerusalem, but built up a defense system for Judah all around in Bethlehem, Edom, Tekoa, Beth-Zur, Sokah, Adullam, Gath, Marisha, Ziph, Adoraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron, a line of defense protecting Judah and Benjamin. He beefed up the fortifications, appointed commanders, and put in supplies of food, olive oil, and wine. He installed arms, large shields, and spears in all the forts, making them very strong. So Judah and Benjamin were secure for the time. The priests and Levites from all over Israel came and made themselves available to Rehoboam. And Rehoboam is in what part of the country?
It's in Judah.
Okay. The Levites left their pastures and properties and moved to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons had dismissed them from the priesthood of the God and replaced them with his own so I just read that. You want me to read all through that again?
No. But the point that I wanted to make to you is that Benjamin never left to go to the... There was the two tribes that remained in the south was Judah and Benjamin. 10 tribes left. So the 11, you know, wherever, you know, because sometimes, you know, you look up stuff and if it's not scripture based, it's not right. And I've never heard of the 11 tribes leaving. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was 10 tribes that left because Benjamin and Judah always stayed together.
Okay.
Okay.
So
that's it.
The 10 tribes left, but the Levites came back. So that still made it 2 and 10. 10 in the north and 2 in the south.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. All right. So let's continue. It's nice how this intertwines with what we were doing already, you know, even though that's not the topic so much, but that's great.
Right.
So we're going to look at, that was 2 Chronicles 11:15, Isaiah 13 and 21, Evangelist, and then Nadine 34 and 14, Isaiah 34 and 14.
Gotcha.
13 and 21 first.
All right. Isaiah 13 and 21 says, desert
animals. Give me a second. Hello. Give me a second. Let me find it, too.
Oh,
13
okay.
and 21. 13 and 21. Okay. 21. Okay, mine is combined. Go on. Thank you.
Desert animals will move into the ruined city. And the houses will be haunted by howling creatures. Owls will live among the ruins, and wild goats will go there to dance. Amen. Whatever that means.
Okay, and so what's that talking about? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
It's, I asked you, what is it talking about?
The desert animals and things. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about the ruins of Jerusalem.
Okay, still we're supposed to be talking about demons now.
Oh.
Howling creatures.
Hey, we're talking about the demons.
Yeah, that's
the
supposed to be talking about
the demons. Into the city and the house.
Yeah, supposed to talk about demons. Okay.
Okay, so is it
demons? Lady Nadine, 34 and 14, please. 34 and 14.
Desert creatures shall meet with hyenas, and a goat demon shall call to his neighbor. Surely there Lilith shall repose, and she shall find a resting place for herself. Now, who is Lilith? Lilith.
Uh-huh.
I know who Lilith is.
She's a night
who
demon.
Is Lilith?
Night demon Lilith. Evil and rapacious. Will establish permanent.
She's a night
force.
Demon.
Night demon.
Ooh.
Scavenging.
Ooh.
Will breed and brood infestations of ominous evil. Wow.
Oh, thank you. Lilith.
That's
okay. I know somebody named Lilith.
wonder if the mother knew what they. I know somebody named Lilith, and I wonder if their mother knew what what they were naming their child. Probably not.
I wonder.
Yeah, we gotta be careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Careful what
I
you
think
name
I,
your children.
I heard,
you hear something.
Somebody named their daughter Chlamydia.
Oh my.
You know?
Oh my goodness, stop. Chlamydia.
And it was a name I heard last night. I can't think of it offhand, but she was on the news. I can't think of it, but I'm thinking that's kind of odd also. But anyway, it'll come to me, I guess. If it does, I'll bring it up again. But anyway, so we're talking about these night demons and these demonic, basically demonic conceptions that we see in the Old Testament. All right, so moving along. To deny the reality of demons requires ignoring or denying the truth of many passages in Scripture. Any thoughts about that? The whole little C section there?
But you still have people who don't believe in demons either.
Well, does that make them right because they don't believe?
No.
Okay.
But they exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so they don't believe. I mean, that's their prerogative, you know? They don't believe. That doesn't make it true or not true. They don't believe.
Exactly.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
Some people still don't believe in hell. They believe in heaven, but
yeah.
They say, no hell. You know, it's only heaven. Your
right.
hell is right here on earth. And to
that's
a degree,
right.
They're right. But.
Mm-hmm.
There will be judgment, and we will be sent either to eternal life in heaven with our Savior or eternal life in hell with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if there's any comments, we're going to move on.
Go ahead.
Okay. Number two, the origins of demons. Various suggestions have been made as to the origin of demons. A, they are the spirits of wicked deceased people. This view seems to come.
What? Are you kidding?
From the ancient Greek belief about demons as being the disembodied spirits of deceased people, especially those who were evil in life. It has no support whatsoever in Scripture, since the Bible always places the unsaved dead as confined in a place of torment, unable to return to Rome on the earth. And we see that in Psalm 9:17 and Luke 16:23 and Revelation 13. I'll get some. Nadine, get Luke, and Evangelist, get Revelation, okay? Psalm 9:17. Let's see what they say. Does anyone have it? Okay, I got it. 9:17. The wicked bought a one-way ticket to hell. No longer will the poor be named. No more humiliation for the humble. But with their strutting, expose these grand pretensions. Shake them up, God. Show them how silly they look. This went to verse 20. All right. The wicked will possess it. Take it to hell. All right.
Luke 16:23 says, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away. And Lazarus in his bosom. And that's when he cried out,
and I'm just going to be 24 too. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. For I am in agony in this flame. So that was that. So I guess that proves that they are not walking around. They are stuck in agony. They are stuck, right?
Yes.
In torment, right?
In torment.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. And now Revelation 20 and 13.
Okay, 13 says, the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Amen.
All right.
Ooh.
So this is coming when?
The final judgment.
All right. When the sea is going to release the dead, death and hell turned in their dead.
When
each man and woman was judged by the way he or she had lived.
Mm-hmm.
Then death and hell were hurled into lake fire. This is the second death, lake fire. Anyone whose name was not found inscribed in the book of life was hurled into lake fire. So we want to get our names in the book of life.
Book of life, yes.
Amen. Okay, part B is they are the disembodied spirits of the pre-Adamic race. What is pre-Adamic?
Before Adam.
Amen. Before Adam. Now, what I understand, there was nobody before Adam.
That's right. Except for, what's the timing of God throwing Satan out of heaven? I think that was before Adam.
Yeah, but he wasn't, really considered, I think, a human at that time, was he?
Adam, he's not human.
Once.
No, but I'm saying this is saying before Adam, disembodied
before
spirits.
Adam.
Before Adam. So, and only spirits I think about is Satan. Before Adam, Satan was thrown out of heaven.
Okay, let's see what
he would be a disembodied spirit. But yeah, let's see what it says.
Okay. Evangelist, you wanted to add something?
No, ma'am.
Okay, this view understands Satan as originally ruling over a perfect earth and a pre-Adamic race of people. That's what you were saying. When Satan sinned against God, this race of people were somehow involved in his rebellion. They lost their bodies and became disembodied spirits or demons. This concept distinguishes between all angels, both good and bad, and demons. It offers as support the idea that demons seek embodiment. What does that mean?
They need a body.
It is somebody's body. We were just talking
they need
about
a body.
That. Them going they need a body.
They need,
whoa.
Because they are spirit, right? As
right.
Evangelist said the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So thus indicating that they are disembodied spirits. So spirits without bodies. But against the view is the plain fact that nowhere does the Bible even hint at the existence of a pre-Adamic race, as we were saying. Indeed, the Lord declared that Adam was the first man, Matthew 19:4. Also, the scriptures nowhere indicate that deceased people are free to return to earth.
Ooh.
Wow. What do you think
about
that?
That's like blows all of that stuff, you know. I mean, because I grew up, like, really. I mean, my family, everybody believed in spirits, dead people walking around.
Going
And see, I mean, I had a godmother who could see spirits and,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. we'd be walking down the street and she'll pull me out the way and I'm like, what happened? She pulled me from walking into a spirit. And then we used to say, when you feel like you walk through a spider web, like, do you ever get that feeling when you walk through a spider web? That you walk through a spirit?
Yeah, I've seen
a
spider web.
I
mean, not so much felt it. Actually done it, yeah. So that's
it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, but if you walk, if you're right in the middle of the street, there ain't no spider web. They said you walk through a spirit. I mean, all of that. That's what I grew up with. My grandmother had a dead person that used to stand at her front door every day, and they said he died in the house, died in the apartment that they had, and they used to see him standing right at the door.
That's just like a lot of the people that work the night shift where I worked. They said they'd be sitting mm-hmm. there, and all they see is shadows going in room to room.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nope, I can't do the night shift.
So he's getting Matthew 19 and 4.
Okay, go on,
I don't mean to stop you.
This just throws all of those things out the window. Yeah, I'm just saying, this just throws all of those myths out the window.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, Matthew 19 and 4 says, this is Jesus speaking. Haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied, they record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that saying? That's saying that the Lord declared that Adam was the first man, so there was no...
Right.
So, in other words, there was no demonic existence of a being before Adam was mm-hmm. created, according to the scripture, that God made mm-hmm. Adam and Eve for one another. And because of this, mm-hmm. a man leaves his father and mother and firmly bonded to his wife, becoming mm-hmm. one flesh, no longer two bodies, but one, because God created this organic union of the two sexes. No one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart. All right. Part
so
two.
What I'm getting is that, so the concept, I'm going back to what we were reading, the concept distinguishes between all angels, good and bad,
mm-hmm.
and demons. So angels are bodiless, right? They are immortal. So it's
they're
not
bodiless?
Like they were
wait,
immortal.
Wait. I never heard that angels are bodiless.
Angels are immortal. So their body.
That doesn't mean they don't have a body.
No.
You have the
spiritual bodies.
We have the cherubims who
have
are
spiritual
supposed to be
bodies.
And the seraphims that are supposed to be so big that they can often be scary, as what the shepherds saw when they were waiting for the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. So when they saw these seraphims, that was not a bodiless being. That's something that had a body.
What I meant was their bodies were immortal. They weren't mortal. Like, we're going to change this mortal body to an immortal body, and Jesus calls us. That's what I meant. So they have an immortal body, as opposed to what we have is a mortal body.
So it does make them different from us in that sense.
Okay, but being mortal doesn't mean that they don't have a body.
I know. I just clarified what I said.
Oh, okay.
Clarified it by saying they have an immortal body.
Okay. That will do what?
Their immortal bodies can probably just walk through a door. You know, they can appear like Jesus did. Once he went back to the Father, he was in his immortal body. So when he went into the upper room, he just appeared there. That's the difference between an immortal body and a mortal body. That an immortal body can just appear somewhere or can just walk through a wall or something like that. And it makes it much, and that's that spiritual immortal body that can just appear. It makes it different from the mortal body.
Okay, we're going to stop here. This is part C. We'll pick up with you part C again. The homework assignment is to read Revelation 9. Probably need to read 8 and 10 too, but Revelation 9 is the assignment, and we're going to find out what's going on there. Okay?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we listen.
Does anyone have the assignment? I don't want to hear. I put it in the wrong book or whatever.
Well, I'm putting it in the right one now.
I don't care what book you put it in. Put it in your head. Okay? Revelation 9.
I'm not even going to respond to that. Read Revelation 9. You want 9 and 10?
Summarize it.
No, why are you putting an extra chapter?
Pardon me?
Why are you putting an extra chapter?
The homework.
No, she was saying we should, but then I asked, do she want us to read 9 and 10?
Read Revelation.
No, extra.
Hello, can I? The assignment to the class is to read Revelation 8 through 10. Okay?
What? You see what you did, Hilda? See what you did? I didn't do it. I was just repeating.
You just said 9, and then now it's 8 through 10. I put down summarized chapter, verse, chapter 9.
I said read it. That's your word. That's not what I said.
We
read
it to come to some conclusion about it, right?
That's what you're doing. Read it to get understanding. It didn't say summarize it. I didn't say summarize it. If you want to summarize it, then that's fine, but that wasn't really the assignment. So just read Revelation 8 through 9 and concentrate on 9. But I want you to read before and after so we can get a better understanding, okay? If you only get a moment to read, just read 9, but try to get the backstory, the main story, and the future story, okay?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yep.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
All right. So, until next week, are there any questions?
Hey, no questions.
Assignment is?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Are we reading?
We're reading 8 through 10. Chapters 8 through 10, but concentrate on chapter 9.
Yes.
Yep.
That's it. And if you want to summarize, by all means. And don't forget, we still have Nahum, which we should have read chapter 1 today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right?
Yes, ma'am.
And tomorrow's Thursday. It's up to you if you want to continue, but I'll put the assignment out there, be chapter 2 tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. God willing.
Yep.
All right.
You're welcome.
Okay. Go on, please.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God, because every time we delve into your word, Lord God, we get a new revelation, Lord God. We reveal new things every time, Lord God, and it's just so awesome, Lord God. You get rid of all the myths, Lord God, that we've grown up with, Lord God, as we get closer to you, we get closer to the truth, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for being the truth, the true word of you, Lord God. And we just thank you for this lesson, Lord God. We thank you for how this lesson was presented, Lord God, by Sister Barbara, Lord God. Just continue to bless her, Lord God. Continue to strengthen her, Lord God. Continue to share and teaches and opens up our hearts and our minds to who you are, Lord God. So we thank you and praise you for this lesson. Lord God, bless Hilda, Lord God. Bless her, Lord God, in every form and fashion, Lord God. Take away her pain, Lord God, and give her the relief that she needs, Lord God, when she feels that pain. But, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for reminding her that she can always call on you, Lord God, when she finds herself in those situations, Lord God, because you are the healer. You calm our minds. You calm our soul, Lord God. You allow us to focus on you, Lord God, so we thank you for that. Lord God, be with us this week, Lord God, and help us, Lord God, to remember that you are in control of everything, Lord God, and help us to be obedient to your word, Lord God. Help us not forget that if there's wisdom that we need, we can call on you, Lord God, because you promised to give us the wisdom that we ask for, Lord God. So we pray for Brother Jake, Lord God, that all is well with him, Lord God. And we just thank you for this time. And I pray for everyone who's listening, everyone who's on this line, everyone who is here, this lesson, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for the prayer. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God.
Be strong.
Thank God.
To our sister Valerie. And so prayerfully she get it Saturday. Hopefully it won't take that long to get. But it's in the mail. I took it to the post office, okay?
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah.
So I'll talk to you. Don't send me check, okay? Don't send me any money.
Huh?
Do not send me a check. Do not send me any money.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Apply it to the dues for October, November, and December. $10 a month, okay?
All right.
Oh. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right.
Okay. Bye. And I just want to say that I think everybody should get like $30 when it's their month. If it's a one-person month, I don't think they should get $60 and everybody else has gotten $30.
No.
Okay?
No, you're right.
Okay.
We'll bring that up on Sunday.
Okay.
Yes. That we set the amount to $30. No, but beware of it.
For birthday. But let me say this, too. We got some guys having birthdays also. You know, I think Jacob's is coming up soon. I forget exactly when, if it didn't pass, right?
No. I don't know his birthday.
I'm not sure if you said November or something like that.
I think he is a November baby.
Yeah, I think he's November 15th or something like that. I'm not sure. But I know all the work he's done for us, we need to give him something, whether he's in our Daughters of Divinity or not. Okay? But we'll get that clarified. thought I'd, you know, bring that up again because he's so good to us.
Okay.
Amen?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, ladies.
Okay.
Bless. Stay safe.
I'm safe. I'm in the house. But then again, you ain't safe in your house either. So
that's
why. My daughter just fell in her tub and hit her head.
Oh, no.
Yes.
She doesn't
I mean,
have
she's
a
okay,
mask?
But.
Does she have a mask? See,
no,
a lot of them don't use the mask. My brother and his family, they don't use mats in the bathtub. But I know a man
I
don't know if he had a mat or not, but he fell and hit his head and he died. So that's a dangerous thing.
Of course.
It is.
But she definitely bought a mat now when I told her, because I have a mat.
I hope so.
I told her, you need to get a mat. You know, so
I don't
see a
purpose of not having a mat.
Right,
what's the problem with, why do they not want a mat anyway?
So they have a fall. Would you be happy?
No, I'm saying why do they refuse to get a mat? Why do they not even have a mat?
I don't
understand
that. I never did.
I think I just don't think of it.
I usually just put an old towel in the tub and stand on that.
Towel?
Yeah.
I think a towel can...
I don't know. It can slip, but at least you put something down there. But a mat is even, you know, and they say take it up because otherwise it gets moldy, which we didn't do at ours. So, you know, it's moldy underneath the mat.
Yeah, take it up.
Right.
You need a mat.
Right.
Anyway, I'm glad she's okay. I hope she got checked out because you don't want to play with your head being hit.
Exactly.
Oh, she did. She did.
Okay,
thank God. Thank God. Well, give her our love and tell her please be careful.
Well, no, as I said, you can have some major accidents in your house, okay?
Oh, yes,
exactly.
You can. Well,
anyway.
I almost had one.
So anyway.
Now you walking and you ain't paying attention and your foot get caught under the rug or something. And whoop, and you go forward, and the first thing you gonna hit, well, at least I would hit my bed, but that's besides the point. But you know, I try to be very careful inside here because I was like, God,
that's
if I fall,
protection.
Yeah,
for protection. And I just want to add this before we go: you can even get COVID. You know, in your house. I know this one guy, I think I talked about it already, in Louisiana, who lived alone. He
mm-hmm.
missed the vaccination. Mm-hmm. He got COVID and he died. Okay?
Yeah.
So he didn't go out.
Yeah, I think I saw that on the news, too.
Yeah, and I think I talked about it, too. But anyway, who knows?
Where did it from?
Who knows? Maybe something he touched. I don't know, but he died. And his mother was, you know, suggesting that he get the vaccination, and he didn't. And he
somebody must have came and visited him and gave him COVID.
I don't even know. They didn't really elaborate, but his mother said she was encouraging everybody to get the vaccination.
Yeah, he could have picked at it from, like, you know, deliveries, like by during that time where they were delivering food and stuff. Maybe he didn't write
something
down.
Yeah. Who knows?
He was in contact with somebody.
Well,
anyway,
okay,
guys.
And God's covering.
Okay.
So you all stay safe in and out of the house.
You too. Good night, ladies.
God,
love you guys. I'm not playing
you.
No music.
Love you.
God bless you.
Shalom.
Have a good day. Shalom.